This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. And by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, let's talk to our buddy Grant McCauley. Braves win Friday night, Saturday night. Sunday we lose, but we stack another series. And Grant, all of a sudden, the standings look a little better than what they did a few weeks ago. And lo and behold, we've got the Rockies on the schedule here for the next few days. Things are looking up for our Braves. How are you feeling so far about what you saw on this particular start of this road trip?
Yeah, I mean, you got to feel a lot better about really what we've seen in the last three series, because you knew it was in there. You knew they were capable of doing it. But the question was when. And, you know, exactly how they were going to get it done. And we've started to see the offense doing what it needs to do to help make some of these games infinitely more winnable. You're not going to win them all. But, yeah, if you keep winning series, you're going to be in a pretty good place. And I feel like the Braves have finally started to click in a lot of different ways. Certain hitters, I feel like, got healthy on the homestand, not healthy physically, but healthy at the plate. And that certainly makes a difference. So there are, of course, a lot of things we can talk about with the pitching staff that are still works in progress that they've got to figure out. But overall, you have to like the brand of baseball they're playing the last week and a half a lot more than, say, the first 2 to 3 weeks of the year.
Yeah, Grant, I thought it was great to see the bats come alive. That Saturday game was just bananas. I was talking about it with Carl to see a guy hit four home runs for the opposing team, and you still were able to get the win. Again, Grant Holmes just served it up, and then Iglesias. But good to see the bats come alive. Is this what we should expect from the pitching staff, though? It's just Schwellenbach struggling too a little bit.
Yeah, he is a little bit, but I feel like, you know, baseball being the game of adjustments that it is, Schwellenbach is a guy that lives in the strike zone. And while he does have six pitches and he does have great stuff, I feel like, and from kind of listening and talking to a few people, that, you know, teams are looking to get maybe more aggressive with him and jump on early hittable pitches in the count so that he can't get to the other three, four, five pitches in an at-bat. Not that he's trying to use all six all the time, but trying to figure out what his tendencies are and, you know, crack the riddle, if you will, because that's kind of what Schwellenbach is. But I think that he's a heady pitcher with a great arsenal, and he's going to kind of sort these things out. But there will still be some growing pains. I mean, we saw it early on last year when he came up, and you kept hearing about, okay, well, this guy, he's really got the pitches, but, you know, can he be consistent? And then he's all of a sudden found consistency, and his arsenal got even better. So I think he can sort it out. As far as the rest of the staff, I liked what I saw from Chris Sale. That was much needed. I still think he's going to get a little bit more efficient, a little bit more consistent as he goes along. And for Grant Holmes, you know, more or less, I mean, sometimes, and I talked about this on From the Diamond this weekend, you know, the other guys get a say in it too. And Eugenio Suarez, for whatever reason, was just out of his mind that day. And the third homer, to me, I know that a lot of folks, I mean, myself included, were like, kind of stop throwing this guy strikes. But, you know, two outs, base is clear. You're not walking him, so you just kind of go after him. But it just seemed like Suarez was in a can't-miss kind of night, and he did not miss. But fortunately, the Diamondbacks were unable to do their part of the bargain, so they turned Eugenio Suarez into Bob Horner. So Braves fans will probably know that deep cut, because the Braves have had a four-homer guy and still lost the game. So some crazy things happen in the game of baseball. That's why we watch it. That's why we play the 162. And I think this weekend was kind of a microcosm of that, good, bad, and indifferent.
Nice Bob Horner reference. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Verdugo. He's one of my favorites. Verdugo and Harris. What's up with the miscommunication? We don't see that with our squad. You know, it's a rare occasion. But that was something else that played out in this game that we can look back at, right?
Yeah, I mean, those are the little things, right? But you've got guys that, you know, keep in mind, Alex Verdugo, he's a solid fielder, and obviously we know what Michael Harris is. But, you know, you don't get a lot of time to get to know each other because you basically are saying, hey, how are you? Okay, let's go play a baseball game as soon as Verdugo got called up. So I think they'll clean that kind of stuff up. It's going to happen from time to time. But, you know, by and large, those are two guys as well that I'll point at and say, you're looking for reasons why the Braves are winning some games here lately. How about Verdugo in the leadoff spot and Michael Harris really sorting some stuff out? I went back and looked at this, the finale in Toronto, and I'm sure we talked about this. Michael Harris went to the plate four times and struck out four times. Since then, in nearly 40 plate appearances, he has struck out twice.
Wow.
So he has really sorted some things out. He's making much better swing decisions, and sometimes that's just what it takes, is that little adjustment, and all of a sudden that confidence starts to snowball, that plan is executed a little bit better, and a guy gets locked in. And I think we're seeing that from Michael Harris and Verdugo. I mean, again, you know, we've seen the moves that the Braves have made this weekend that we can talk about a little bit in advance of the Rockies series, but he has played his way into being the starting left fielder thanks to Jurickson Profar's suspension and the fact that Jared Kelnick, Brian De La Cruz, neither of them could do much offensively speaking. That's opened up the door for him, and I think he's taken that job and running with it. And the Braves have been kind of energized since he showed up. They're winning some baseball games, so you got to give credit where credit's due.
I know, Grant, I talked about this last week. I asked you about Ozzie Albies and some of these clutch at-bats. Man, he is just really having a hard time getting guys in when they're on. And I know, unfortunately, last night there was the top where they left so many guys on base, and then the bottom of the innings with the fielding situation Carl just referenced. But, man, Ozzie came up snake eyes again.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, I think he had a big hit the day before, but those big hits have been few and far between. And Albies is 2-for-16 with runners in scoring position. I know that stat has been thrown out there a lot in the past couple of days. And this is just another example of, you know, to maybe a greater extent, because your expectations are much higher with Ozzie Albies, but it just seems like the ball will find you, whether that's in the field or whether it's, hey, your turn with two outs and the runners on. This was a thing for Orlando Arcia last year. It felt like if the Braves had a rally and there were two outs and two men on, Orlando Arcia was the guy that was up there with the bat in his hands, and this year it's Ozzie Albies. Now, if you're telling me or asking me which one of those guys I'm going to pick in those opportunities to give more plate appearances to, it's Ozzie. He's going to figure it out, but right now, as some Braves hitters have the last couple of years especially, he's just kind of going through it. He's going to have to sort all of that out, but over the long course of a baseball season, and I just want to kind of harken back to, think about what we watched the first 7 or 10 games and what we've watched the last 10 games. Things can certainly change for players and for the team, so you just got to, you know, grit your teeth, do the work, and get through it. And Ozzie Albies has done that over the course of his career.
Grant, I was being a little bit of a smart aleck earlier when Mike brought up Ian Anderson back off of waivers, and I said, what year is this? It's 2025. What are we doing here? Explain to me best terms you can. I'm not saying you're Alex Anthopoulos here, but what are we doing by trying to bring guys back, you know, whether it's him, Rosario, or anybody else?
Well, I think with both of these guys, we're talking about short-term solutions, and you know, you have familiarity with these guys, and that's really why they're getting the call here. The Braves didn't necessarily want to just have to cut ties with Ian Anderson this spring. They would have loved to have said, okay, you know, you're not where you need to be. You're not, you know, you're walking too many guys. Let's go sort it out in AAA Gwinnett.
Couldn't go down.
But he was out of options, so they couldn't do that exactly. So this will be a case where, yep, they bring him in. He's probably just going to serve as an extra body. And if a game gets, you know, lopsided one way or another, he might be asked to cover an inning or two, or be that multiple inning guy that, you know, just mops up if that is the case, which you would hope against the, 4-23 Rockies, that you're not having to use your guy to come in and mop up because you're in, you know, that kind of situation. But to make a long story short, I think that they would like to get Ian Anderson back in the system. They would like to probably pass him through waivers and be able to assign him to the minors and sort some things out with him there. But for right now, I think it's just about taking a flyer. For Eddie Rosario, I think it's pop off the bench. He certainly has that. He's been hitting extremely well at AAA, only played in a couple of games with the Dodgers, was 1-for-4, I believe, so not much of the big leagues. But they know Eddie, they like Eddie, and they'll see if he's able to just be that bench guy that makes a little bit more sense than Jared Kelnick sitting and not playing and not getting at bats, because Jared needs to go figure some stuff out. I think we've known that for a while. It's been confirmed this season that, you know, he really hasn't cracked the code. And it's fair to ask if he's going to be able to do it at this point, because he's lost the opportunity to get playing time, even when you had major players out, and there should be nothing but opportunity for a guy like that. he just wasn't able to take it and run with it. So you have to make moves, and I think this is just one of those minor moves right now, and hoping that when you get Ronald Acuña Jr. back, things will certainly normalize there and have significant upside over what they've been trying to do, cobbling this outfield together.
What is that? I mean, kind of like, for the guys who don't know the backstory, 6th overall pick for the Mets, then he gets traded. Yeah, so three different organizations, and they do have the salary control. I mean, is it between the ears, you think, with him, or is it just the skills just aren't there consistently?
Yeah, no, the skills are there. I feel like this is a very talented, as they say in the scouting world, very toolsy player. I mean, he can hit. And his amateur career, high school career, he could hit for average. He could hit for power. He can run the bases well. He can field. He's got a good arm. I mean, it's everything you want to see. It's kind of like, and I hate this because I don't enjoy the movie because I think it's a little bit farcical, but you know when they're sizing up Billy Bean in a flashback of Moneyball?
Yeah.
That's kind of, it's Jared Kelnick too. It's everything is there to like. What's not to like? And he's been part of a couple of big trades now at this point, but he just hasn't been able to figure it out at the big league level. He's still young. He's still controllable. The Braves would love to see him sort everything out, but you look at those numbers, they don't lie. And as the Scott Steiner promo goes, they spell disaster right now for his big league career. So if he's able to figure it out in Gwinnett, that would be a huge plus for the Braves because they would like to get something out of that. And Jared Kelnick, I do think he plays the game hard, and he's a guy that you want to root for, that you want to see succeed, but he's got to figure it out himself.
All right. Standings look good, or much better, even though we're 6.5 back. I mean, like, seriously, if we handle business, sweep Colorado, get some help, you don't know how this thing looks before they come back home, and that's the good news. We're playing the worst team in the majors. Listen, there are no gimmies, but this is as much as a gimme as you're going to get all season long playing the Rockies with where they are right now. So things looking up for the Braves. We still have questions, guys, but again, we're not a complete team, Grant, and I think that's your message, right? We're still not a complete team yet.
Yeah, until you got number 13 batting leadoff and getting five plate appearances a night, you're certainly not complete yet, and I do think that we are nearing the time where Ronald is going to be heading out on that rehab assignment. I think it could happen this week.
Let's go!
I haven't gotten any full indications on where exactly it'll be or when, but from what I understand, that they are targeting getting him out there, because we're at the end of April now. We're talking about coming back in early, mid-May. Well, it's time to get him out there and get him back. So if you are living within driving distance of a Braves affiliate, you might want to be on standby for when that announcement comes out. And go see Ronald Acuña Jr. getting himself ready to come back and help the Braves out.
The good news is we're inching towards 500. So, I mean,
we're
not going to remember what we did in April. Just those first 2 weeks.
Right? It can be at 500.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Grant, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow, brother.
You got it, guys. Take care.